an editor of CannabisCulture.com and a member of the Green Party of British Columbia and the wife of the Prince of Pot and a marijuana activist. And I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today, Jody Emery. Hello.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for being on the show. And I guess, I'm sure people out there want to know what's the latest with Mark Emery's situation?
Well, Mark has been in the United States. It will be 3 months this Saturday that he's been down there in U.S. federal prison, and he's awaiting his formal sentencing on Friday, September 10th in Seattle Federal Court downtown. So we expect that he'll get the five-year sentence he agreed to in the plea deal, and hopefully it works out that way so he can just apply for transfer to come back to Canada and serve his sentence here.
For sure. And I know when I've been trying to follow the situation with Mark Emery, and then one thing I've noticed with how Mark's been getting the word out from behind bars has been through he's been writing a blog report. Letters to yourself, Jody Emery. But I was wondering, what was the situation with the prison podcast? I think that there had been some sort of situation with that, because I remember when Mark was in Canadian jail, he was recording podcasts from radio or from the jail. What's going on here in this with the American system?
Well, he tried doing that once from the U.S. He called me up and we recorded a phone call to broadcast as his letter. Or his message to supporters saying that he was okay and he just wanted them to keep being active and be motivated by his imprisonment. However, a couple hours after doing that recording, he was approached by prison officials who said that he had violated a rule and he was put in the secure housing unit or the hole, solitary confinement, isolation, whatever you want to call it, but the worst place you can be in prison. They put him there and told him he would have to wait for a disciplinary hearing for having broken the third-party phone call rule. They said that by sending a message to his supporters through me, he was violating that rule. And he was in the hole for 3 weeks, which was extraordinarily difficult, more so for him than me, but knowing that he was cut off entirely from any human contact for that long of time without going outside, without any proper food. It was a really challenging time, and our lawyer was about to get him out on bail, saying that it was undue and unjust, but the prison then said that they would release him from solitary confinement the same day as the bail hearing was supposed to be, so we figured it'd be better for him just to get out of the hole and wait for sentencing to happen so we can just get this time over with and have it count towards his sentence.
Well, yeah, for sure. And what is this podcast available currently, or?
Well, there isn't any done or posted online from his current incarceration. We had to promise not to release the one that I did record. But Mark did do excellent podcasts last year when he was in prison up here in Canada before getting out on bail to await the decision of extradition. And he wrote prolifically and had excellent recordings that are posted online. Mm-hmm. So if you go to CannabisCulture.com, there's a button on the left where it says Mark Emery's Prison Podcast. And if you go there, you'll be able to find all of the archives on iTunes where you can listen to what he had to say. But for now, it's just letters that he writes to me that I'm archiving and sharing online so people can know what he's going through.
Right, and the actual one that I read, I think that came out recently, is the complete story written by Mark Emery, all about prison and what comes next. And it's there's a lot of information in that. I know there was one thing that he mentioned was one good thing. He said that he's had one good meal in the few months he's been there. He was able to get some vegetables one time.
Yes, he was very thrilled to be able to get a couple pieces of broccoli and cauliflower, fresh vegetables one night. He hasn't seen that at all in the prison. The food is just so substandard. It's not nutritious in any way whatsoever. And because he's a vegetarian, he's being given peanut butter as a replacement for meat products. Sometimes his main meal of the day is a few pieces of potato, a couple pieces of canned carrots and beans, and some bread with peanut butter on it. And then, you know, it's not really a healthy meal. And he has lost quite a bit of weight while being in prison. But he doesn't want to eat junk food. He doesn't want to be unhealthy. He's trying to just eat everything he can, everything that comes his way, and try and keep his spirits up and being very busy, writing a lot, reading a lot, and doing his prolific, excellent, brilliant works.
For real, and I think like the best thing we can do is to keep getting the word out, and getting, you know, awareness of the situation going on. That's why I'm glad that there have been actions at, you know, different government ministers' offices or MP offices, and you know, one I noticed that is on there's it's sort of a documentary on your YouTube page, Jody Emery, was the situation of what happened in Niagara Falls at Justice Minister Rob Nicholson's office. And, you know, it's quite a shocking video because it shows activist Jacob Hunter being arrested and another activist from the Hash Mob gets arrested. What's been going on with the political occupations?
Well, we planned that when Mark first went to prison to occupy Conservative Member of Parliament offices, constituency offices, to protest Mark's extradition and to show that a lot of people are opposed and to try and reason with these Conservative MPs about why the drug war is so wrong. When we went out to Ontario to go to the Justice Minister's office, myself and Jacob Hunter, we came across a locked door. They had locked us out. I was asked to produce my ID, and I did, and they called the police on us, even though we were just standing out front doing absolutely nothing. The cops then told us that cameras are a weapon and proceeded to go towards the office. And when we said that we would be going inside the office, because it is a public space and we have the right to be there as a taxpayer who pays for the office space, the cops turned around and assaulted Jacob. That was a very unusual instance, and yes, you can see it by going online, but most of our occupations have been successful in getting in. In fact, I went to Calgary the day before Mark was formally extradited, and I was in Prime Minister Stephen Harper's office. We managed to get inside, and we went on the front patio and hung our flag and banners and spent hours in there, generating a lot of media attention, really. So we've done quite a number of offices, but at this point we're working towards more communication with the public safety minister about why Mark should be brought home. So we do have a big rally planned, though. It's a worldwide rally for September 18th. We've had a number of worldwide rallies since 2005 when Mark was initially arrested. And this is just to show the width and breadth of the supporters that we have out there. They're all over the world. And they feel that this is absolutely unjust and Mark should be set home and set free. So our website, freemark.ca, has information about that rally and one being near you where you can plan one or attend one, and all the information needed to help raise awareness about Mark and bring him home, because it all depends on this government to approve his treaty transfer application to come home. So we need the public safety minister, Vic Taves, to really feel the pressure to return Mark along with all the other nonviolent Canadians who are locked up abroad.
For real. And I'm sure the local activists in the Toronto Hash Mob will be around for the this day of action, worldwide rally we're talking about in September coming up. And we've actually interviewed Chris Goodwin on the show before. And he actually was interesting because he was talking, when he got into talking about politics, he mentioned that he is a member of the Conservative Party. And I asked him about that, you know, how he can be a marijuana activist and be, you know, in the Conservatives. And he sort of described it as infiltrating the Conservatives, what he's up to. And so I was wondering about what you're doing, Jody Emery, in politics. Would you describe what you're doing as a member of the Green Party as infiltrating, or would you say that the Green Party is more open-minded to the marijuana issue?
Well, I think everybody should be joining a political party, because really all that needs is for you to just show up and you have influence over it. The people who are making the decisions right now are the people who showed up and got involved. And so it is kind of infiltration, but that's what everybody does. They get into the political party they feel most closely aligned to, and they try to influence policy from within, and there's nothing sinister or wrong with that. And it's a strategy that I'm taking by running with the BC Green Party and the Federal Green Party. So with the BC Greens, they approached me to be a candidate when we had the BC Marijuana Party agree to vote for Greens in the provincial election last year, and they had me run in one of the highest profile ridings against star candidates, giving me a lot of great media exposure. They made me the Olympic critic and the policing and crime critic. And this last May, I was elected a director at large of the BC Greens. So already I'm getting further along into the party and able to have more of an influence now and later on when I intend to be the leader of the BC Greens. With the Federal Green Party, we decided to join up with them because they had asked me to be a candidate for them as well. So I'm running in Vancouver South. But really my intent there is to just speak truth to Canadians and remind them of what politicians and members of Parliament are supposed to be. They're supposed to represent the people to Parliament, not represent a party to the people. And unfortunately, we're in a way right now where most of our members of Parliament are tied to their party name and they're not allowed to vote differently than what the party dictates. But by its nature, Canadians should have MPs who represent different ideas, even though they're from the same party, because an NDP MP in BC would certainly be representing their constituents' interests, which might be different from interests of an NDP MP out in the East. So we need to change our system, but the only way to do that is to get inside and speak about it. So I consider running in elections a way to get a platform and use a platform to deliver an important message, but also to get more and more people engaged in the political system so they know that, you know, they can have an influence, they can have an impact just by showing up and getting involved. It's so vitally important. And voting really means a lot. I mean, we don't have a lot of defense against our government and what they do. So, you know, we have to engage, and the only way that we know how is to, you know, really get involved and vote, because voting is the most important thing that you can do as a form of self-defense against the government.
For real, for real. And when I was at the, I checked out the Freedom Festival this year in Toronto, which is at Queen's Park, you know, every year, and then with the marijuana march. But at the Freedom Festival, they had the speaker stage, and I noticed that there was one politician speaking there. I think it was Ellen Mickelson of the Green Party, and she, you know, even she was talking about the criminalization of marijuana and the need to decriminalize marijuana. So I guess are you seeing, like, do you have allies in the party on this issue?
Absolutely, the Green Party has always supported ending prohibition, and that's really the reason I'm with them. I do care about the environment. I care about small government. I care about reducing taxes and giving people more power to choose and make decisions in their own life. And that's what the Green Party represents to me. So I joined it for that reason, and I'm pleased to see that they often require their candidates to be supportive of drug policy reform. I mean, there are a few candidates who don't quite understand prohibition and why that's a problem, but they're in the minority, so that won't have an impact.
Right, right. And we are in interesting times here, you know, living in Canada. And in Toronto, we actually had an interesting event a few weekends ago. I got to check it out. It was called Treating Yourself, Medical Marijuana Expo. At the Metro Convention Center, and it was, you know, there was a lot of booths set up and a lot of, you know, I learned a lot more information on this medical marijuana. But then I'm also reading, you know, I read on CannabisCulture.com, one of the latest articles has to do with Toronto's Cannabis as a Living Medicine Compassion Club was raided for a second time recently. I guess, you know, what are your thoughts right now on the medical marijuana situation in Canada in 2010?
Well, this federal government is extremely opposed to medical marijuana, and they've been trying to get in the way of expanding the program in every which way they possibly can. Even though the courts repeatedly rule in favor of compassion clubs and medical marijuana access, the federal government is trying as hard as it can to prevent any further growth or progress. So that's a concern, and with the raid throughout Montreal, you know, it's demonstrating that this government is not willing to allow much progress to take place.
Right, and that's, you know, that's why I think it's important to be part of this Free Mark Emery campaign, and leading up to September the 18th with this worldwide rally, day of worldwide rallies, which you can find more information on at whyprohibition.ca and or cannabisculture.com. with...
And freemark.ca as well.
Right, right, freemark.ca. And, you know, we started off this this show today. I played a quick clip from the press conference that Stockwell Day gave a few weeks ago about, you know, I think it was $9 billion more for prisons, and then the person in the press conference is asking him about, you know, if the crime rate's going down, why is so much more going into prisons? And then, you know, we're seeing this bill S-10, I guess that's one of the bills that's in there. I guess, like, are you thinking it's getting too much to the...
Drug war has been declared. They are saying that a lot of people commit unreported crimes. And even though the crime rate is dropping, that they need to spend billions of dollars on brand new prisons and 36 prison expansions on pre-existing facilities. And what they're saying is that there are thousands of Canadians who grow and smoke and share and sell marijuana, and those crimes are not going reported. However, they don't need those crimes to be reported because they've just given all cannabis offenses the title of being a serious offense. So any trafficking of any amount is now labeled a serious offense, which allows the police to use organized crime tools to investigate and charge people. So that means they now have the ability to wiretap without court oversight or permission. They have the ability to do asset forfeiture. And these are all things we've seen in the United States that have really given the police more and more incentive to go after marijuana people. They're peaceful, nonviolent, low-hanging fruit. Everybody knows somebody who smokes pot or grows it. And it's just a war being declared, and they're basically saying, yeah, crime of every type is going down, but there's a lot of people committing crimes who aren't being arrested yet. And so that's what these new prisons are going to be built for all the cannabis users and drug offenders who are the new target of this launched war on drugs. This government has been very gleeful in focusing on the anti-drug and anti-marijuana strategy. Stephen Harper has declared it a culture war about the music and everything he wants to go after and change it all. I mean, this is an all-out war on marijuana users in Canada. It's a hangover from the Bush days. They're even taking back all their mandatory minimums and letting go of nonviolent drug offenders in some prisons because they know it hasn't worked. The United States has far worse crime and is much less safe than Canada, and yet they have more marijuana users and more marijuana everywhere than we even do up here. So prohibition doesn't work in the goals that they state it's for, but it certainly works when you want to put away the people who question authority, who are, in large numbers, the people who use marijuana.
For real, and we're speaking with Jody Emery. We're getting a lot of truth today, and leading up to this, we're about 1 month away from the Free Mark Emery worldwide rallies taking place. Do you have any recommendations just leading up to September 18th for people, how they can help out with the Mark Emery campaign?
Absolutely. Go to cannabisculture.com and freemark.ca. And most importantly, we need people to write letters to the public safety minister urging him to return Mark to Canada to serve his time. Because if Mark gets sentenced on the 10th, he'll apply for the transfer right away, and the U.S. side will agree probably later on. He has to make his application later on that end. But he could possibly be back here next year out on parole in Canada with me by, you know, the end of summer or by Christmas. So if people really want to help bring him home, even to serve his time, he's not saying to be let go scot-free. I mean, he's pleading guilty. He did sell those seeds, but he had the intent to plant the seeds of freedom and to overgrow the government. He was extraordinarily successful in that, and that's why they took him down, just like the DEA admitted in their press release that it was all about the money. They never even mentioned seeds. They said it was all about him being the leader of a legalization movement and funding marijuana legalization lobbyists all throughout North America and the world, that he was the most wanted drug trafficking kingpin in Canada for his seed sales. It's all this extreme hyperbole, but it points out that they just wanted to silence him and silence the movement, and unfortunately they didn't. Well, good for us, unfortunate for them. They cut off the head of the snake and have just seen many more come up. You know, a lot of people are now selling seeds. A lot of Americans are able to buy seeds and plants in their towns. It's a lot of changes happened since Mark was arrested in 2005, but that was his intent, and we just want him to be able to come home to serve his time here and be able to spend it with me. So going to cannabisculture.com and freemark.ca, you can contact the public safety minister. You can also write to the Federal Bureau of Prisons and ask them to transfer him home. You can buy a Free Mark T-shirt, which Tommy Chong wears everywhere, and hundreds of people are wearing everywhere. You can get stickers and handouts and just stay up to date on what's going on by signing up there.
Right, right. And I forgot to ask, well, what is the sentence that he could be facing, or that he's, or what's that's going on, well, in September? Like, what's the possibilities?
He agreed to 5 years on one count, and that would mean the other two counts would be dropped, and they were conspiracy charges, conspiracy to manufacture marijuana, conspiracy to distribute marijuana, and conspiracy to launder the proceeds of crime. Of course, none of that's true. He never actually did make or sell marijuana. He didn't launder money. He just spent the money on activism and paid his taxes on all his marijuana seed income, had Health Canada recommending him. Every member of parliament, everybody in Canada knew that he was selling seeds. Everyone in the media around the world knew he was selling seeds. So that was his goal, and he was very successful in what he was doing. So, you know, by going to prison for 5 years, he avoids a 30-year sentence he was threatened with before, 30 years to life. And by pleading guilty, he only agreed to do so as long as his two co-accused didn't go to prison. So his two co-accused got 2 years probation in Canada, which is what he wanted. That means no prison time. And Greg still works with us here at Hot TV and the BC Marijuana Party. Michelle has moved on to her own things. But Mark said if they don't go to prison, he would plead guilty, and that's what happened. So he's looking for the five-year sentence, and hopefully that's what the judge gives him. If not, then Mark can withdraw from the plea deal, or the federal government can withdraw from the plea deal and proceed to trial, which we don't want to happen because it would just be something we can't afford, and the sentence outcome would probably be much worse. So we're hoping for 5 years on the 10th.
Definitely, definitely, and yeah, and I'm glad that you're out there getting the word out, and yeah, there is still hope, and we're going to be following this until leading up to the worldwide rallies in September 18th, and we're just going to keep on trying to get the word out here on the word of mouth, and but I'd just like to thank Jody Emery for joining us here today.
Great, thank you so much for having me, and free Mark Emery and the drug war.
For real, thanks a lot, Jody.
Take care.
Take care. And that was Jody Emery joining us from Vancouver, who is the wife of Mark Emery. Mark Emery's currently in jail in the United States and is scheduled to be sentenced in September. So that's why there's the September 18th worldwide rallies taking place. And I'm sure there'll be one in Toronto or in your local community. You can check out freemark.ca. cannabisculture.com, whyprohibition.ca, and, you know, to get some more information, hashmob.ca, check out dopechef.ca, check out, or dopechef.com, I should say, and, you know, there's a lot more. You know, Mark Emery was actually in town in Toronto when on a farewell tour last summer, and actually this is just a quick clip here that I got of Mark Emery here giving some important information for you to learn about who are the enemies in the marijuana culture.
People have five natural enemies in a way, because all the people in society that demand unquestioned obedience, suspend their critical thinking. They want unquestioned obedience, automatons, and that's parents, teachers, priests, politicians, and cops.
Word up. So that was the Mark Emery's words on the automatons. So look out for that. Look out for those categories of people. Just if in case you're getting involved in the culture and trying to stay out of trouble, because, you know, it's troubling times.